Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and the mindful pathfinder himself, Peter M. Fellows. And this week, in our book talk segment, we're each going to share a book with you. Peter, can you tell us something about the book you'll be sharing today?
Certainly, Rick. And as always, I'm delighted to be back here with the Road Ahead Cafe with you guys, you and Frank, and our extremely good-looking audience. Let me begin by telling you the start of the story. There was once an Indian man born in Bombay who grew up to be a Roman Catholic priest, a Jesuit. He studied philosophy at the University of Barcelona in Spain. He studied psychology at a university in Chicago. And while a priest, he became a psychotherapist. He adapted Vipassana meditation for use in praying. He drew upon the wisdom of Eastern spiritual approaches to teach the lessons in Catholic retreats. And at the age of 55, he died in 1987. Anthony DeMello was his name. After his passing, his friends collected transcripts from one of his retreats and compiled them into this book, Awareness, The Pearls and Opportunities of Reality. And that is the book I'll be sharing today. Rick?
Wow. Great stuff, Peter. Frank, what are you going to be sharing with us today?
Now, some people can motivate themselves in a very good way. They also can understand their own emotions and recognize and understand other people's emotions surprisingly well. How can that be the case? If you recognize these qualities yourself, among probably some others, then you might have a very high emotional intelligence. What is emotional intelligence all about, and how can you develop it? According to the book written by Daniel Goleman in 1995, emotional intelligence, why it can matter more than IQ. The concept of emotional intelligence could even be more important than IQ when it comes, intelligence quotient, the abbreviation is, when it comes to success in life. Do you want to know more? Stay tuned.
Wow. Very cool, Frank. Thank you. So the book I'm going to share today is Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson. It's a classic. I remember when I first came in touch with it in 1998. It was in a business setting. And it was 1 year after the most intense period of change in my life. In 1997, some of you may know, I went from Wall Street to Dental Street. I left my job as a Wall Street recruiter, and I went into the dental business. And this is a story about how change can profoundly affect us in both positive and negative ways, depending on which character we are. Yeah. Sniff, scurry, hem, or haw. And I will give you some details on how to deal with moving when your cheese moves when I do my long piece. Peter, how about you? You want to go deeper?
All right. Do I have to share my cheese or?
No. Be nice.
Okay. Awareness, the pearls and opportunities of reality. If you've been listening each week to us on the Road Ahead Cafe, then you'll notice that DeMello, the author, says many things consistent with what I've been sharing about my mindfulness application, the Pathfinder's Question. Great minds think alike. That's what I told my wife, Jeannie. She told me, fools seldom differ. So most people, DeMello claimed, are asleep. He tells the story about this gentleman who knocks on his son's door. Jamie, he says, wake up. You have to go to school. Jamie says, I don't want to go to school. Why not? Asks the father. Because it's boring. The kids tease me and I hate school. The father says, well, you must go to school. After all, you are the principal. Waking up is unpleasant, DeMello says. We don't really want to be woken up. And the metaphor of people sleeping is a good one. I like Miguel Ruiz, the metaphor that we're all dreaming. But the sleep that DeMello is speaking about is really the sleep of a hypnotized person. The stage magician hypnotizes someone so they don't see what's really there. Instead, they see the condition description or the label in their head. And he gives the following exchange as an example. Henry, how you've changed. You were so tall, grown so short. You were so well built, but you've grown so thin. You were so fair and you've become so dark. What happened to you, Henry? And the man answers, I'm not Henry, I'm John. Henry, you changed your name too? See, so DeMello gives you a surefire way to tell if you yourself are asleep like this. Ask yourself, am I suffering? The answer is yes. He claims you're sleeping. And he tells the story of some people who are adrift off the coast of Brazil. Although they're suffering from thirst and the boat is surrounded by water, they won't touch it. Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. They're hypnotized. They're asleep. At some point, they were taught that the water in the ocean is salt water, and you can't drink that because you will die of dehydration. But they're actually floating in fresh water. The river at this point comes into the ocean with such force that it goes out a couple of miles, so they had fresh water right where they were. While the story was true, DeMello meant it as a metaphor. You're surrounded by opportunities for fulfillment, but your illusions and labels keep you in a state of suffering. We label others, we label ourselves, and we identify with those labels. DeMello writes that a man asks his friends, are you planning to vote Republican? And the friend says, no, I'm planning to vote Democrat. My father was a Democrat, and my grandfather was a Democrat, and my great-grandfather was a Democrat. And the man says, that's crazy logic. I mean, if your father was a horse thief, and your grandfather was a horse thief, and your great-grandfather was a horse thief, would you be a horse thief? No, the man admitted, I'd be a Republican. Suffer because of the labels we give ourselves and others. But there's a way to end the suffering, DeMello tells us. You've got to drop the illusions that cause you to suffer. How do you do that? Self-observation. Just observe everything in you and around you as far as possible. Be a passive, detached observer, he advises. If you feel depressed, step back outside yourself and look at the depression. Don't identify with it. Don't say, I am depressed. Watch it as if it were happening to someone else. If you want to say, it is depressed, that's all right, says DeMello. Now, with the Pathfinder's question, we use this third-person self-talk, as it's called. You attribute that feeling of depression to your brain, who I refer to as gatekeeper. So you would say, gatekeeper feels depressed. And here is where I part paths a little from DeMello. He advises, don't do a thing to make it go away. Be perfectly willing to go on with your life while it passes through you and disappears. And he further advises, do not use any particular method to do this, but I like a method. You see, generic mindfulness is primarily about releasing stress. But the Pathfinder's question, a mindfulness application, is about increasing fulfillment. So you need to do something. And doing something, giving your brain a protocol to follow, restores a sense of control to it. With the Pathfinder's question, I help gatekeeper pause and step back from the feeling and then ask the better informed non-conscious mind, Pathfinder, where is our most fulfilling path forward here? Then just listen for the response, observe what comes up. DeMello says, when you just observe like this, you change effortlessly. Change will happen and you will not have to do anything to bring it about. With that, I concur. In the book Awaken, DeMello promises us that the light of awareness settles on your suffering. Whatever is evil will disappear. Whatever is good will be fostered. Rick?
Wow. That is some heavy stuff right there, Peter. Thank you. I love the story about the principle. Right. Frank, what do you got?
Well, I'm still thinking about moving the cheese and the mouse just walking somewhere. But anyway, that's in my mind. It's about regulation of emotions. That's a thing I'm going to cover right now. Suppose you are a manager and you know that tight deadlines bring out the worst in you. You feel uptight, very uptight, stressed, maybe very grumpy too. In this case, you know your emotions, strengths and weaknesses. You know what your values are probably and what drives you. And what the impact is, that's important, on others. If you add this all up, you have probably a high level of self-awareness. Goleman suggests in his book, five different skills. Self-awareness is one of those skills of emotional intelligence. So what is really distinguishing you from other people, especially at work? It isn't IQ or technical skills, Goleman says. It is your level of emotional intelligence, a group of five skills that enable people, leaders in a business context, to maximize their own and their colleagues' performance or their quality of life, to broaden it a bit. Goleman's model of emotional intelligence includes the five following skills. One, self-awareness. It is the ability to know your emotions, strengths, and weaknesses, as I just said. You know what your values are and what drives you and what the impact or the effect is on others. Number two, self-regulation, controlling or redirecting disruptive impulses and moods. Number three, motivation, relishing achievement for its own sake. Number four, empathy, understanding others' emotional makeup. And number five, social skills, building rapport with others to move them in a desired direction. Well, you said a nice, probably you think it's a nice list. Okay, I give you some examples. You are driving in a car and there is a lot of traffic, and suddenly someone pushes in front of the traffic jam. What is your first reaction? Well, I start to be angry if you are uptight or whatever, you're stressed, you have to pick up your kids from school or something like that. Self-regulation, controlling or redirecting disruptive impulses and moods. Number two, you love basketball and you decide to become the best shooting guard of your team. Motivation, relishing achievement for its own sake. Just get it done. Focus, attention, etc. During a meeting, you sense that a colleague isn't feeling that well. After the meeting, you go over to her and ask how she's doing. Then she tells you what is happening in her life and thanks you for asking. Empathy, understanding other people's emotional makeup. You are a member of a large network organization. You know that you first must build on common interest and create relations of trust in order to explore any possibility of business opportunities. Social skills, building rapport with others to move them into a desired direction. In these examples, you might recognize aspects that you're very good at, but also maybe things that you can improve. The question is, can emotional intelligence be learned? Well, scientific data suggests that there is a genetic component to emotional intelligence. There's also evidence that nurture plays an important role as well. And, for example, your cultural background can be a very important influencer. My suggestion is to assess yourself on these five skills and to have an honest look at yourself. Ask people with who know you quite well and you trust to give you honest feedback in a respectful way on one or more of these five skills. You can use the Yohari window I talked about in episode 19. It's a very effective way to do that. If you want to enhance your emotional intelligence skills, you can do that through persistence, practice, and feedback, Daniel Goleman says. And I think that's very good news. And now, Rick, what happened to the cheese?
I knew you were going to love that, Frank. Great job. So life is like a maze, and cheese is what we want. Success, love, health, stuff. So our journey in life through the maze provides us with handwriting on the wall. And as we travel through this maze, we get messages each day. Sometimes change is scary. It's unknown. And fear creeps in. But change is constant and it's inevitable. And whoever accepts and even embraces change wins. Of course, I use the word wins on this show as a good thing. We don't really think about winning and losing that much here. but it is on our minds. So there's seven lessons from this book, Who Moved My Cheese? It's a great read. I highly suggest that you grab it, even listen to it. Number one, change happens. They keep moving the cheese. Number two, anticipate change. Get ready for the cheese to move. Number three, monitor change. Smell the cheese often so you know when it's getting old. Four, adapt to change quickly. The quicker you let go of the old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy some new cheese. Number five, change. Move with the cheese. Number six, enjoy change. Savor the adventure and taste the new cheese. And number seven, be ready to quickly change again and again because they keep moving the cheese. It's a terrific story, very cute for young and old, and I highly suggest it. Peter, any final thoughts?
Yes, I like that about the cheese. So let me leave you with this absolute diamond from DeMello's book. The person who is asleep always thinks he or she will feel better if somebody else changes. You're suffering because you're thinking how wonderful life would be if only my neighbor changed, or my wife, or my boss, or the government, or society. Because we were asleep, we believe that someone else or something else has to change before we can feel good. And even if your wife or boss or whatever changes, what does that do for you? You're just as vulnerable as before. You're just as asleep as before. Same story, different characters. There will always be someone or something new to offend you, to upset you, because you're still offendable. What needs to change isn't someone else's behavior or speech. What needs to change is something inside you. You keep thinking, I feel good because the world is right. Wrong. The world is right because you feel good. And that's our mission as a group here on the Road Ahead Cafe and as individual practitioners too. We want to show you how to feel good. And if you keep showing up each week, we'll keep feeding you. Don't forget to patronize this episode's sponsor, Conan Cohen's Coens. Now you too can be the master's prize pupil effortlessly. Use the discount code NOMIND and we'll take 10% off the answer to one Zen Koan. Think how proud you'll feel when you ace your Zen monk exam. Applies to new customers only. Must have your own empty cup. Rick?
Terrific, Peter. Frank, you got any final thoughts?
Yeah, Peter, you probably know the sound of one hand clapping, I guess. Yes. Okay. Just for the book, I recommend, of course, the book of Goldman, the original one, but there is another one, which is also featuring some other people in there. And that's this one. It's the HBR's 10 Must Read Reads on Emotional Intelligence. It's a very good book and quite accessible and not too technical. All right. You are emotional intelligence when you are. Well, what do? You know your intelligence. You know your emotions. You manage your emotions. You can motivate yourself in the direction you want. You recognize and understand other people's emotions. Recognition, very important. Understanding, you know, be empathetic to people. And you can manage relationships and others' emotions. Well, what Rick just said, and Peter also, change is the essence of life. And emotional intelligence is all about how do I deal with change? Because if we can summarize all our episodes by now, it is the common denominator, I think, is about change and how to live and embrace and work with change every day. We try to puzzle, to make the puzzle of life somehow, some way, and change is the key that, and dealing with that absolutely is the key. So change is the essence of life. Yes, you can change because you have the ability to learn. By default, it's built in. You can enhance your emotional intelligence, and it will happen when you have a sincere desire to do so and concerted effort to do so. It has to do with focus, attention, ability, and met for all, willingness, says Goldman. To quote the famous Ralph Waldo Emerson, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. Well, we wrote Head Cafe, like three guys full of enthusiasm to help you to work the puzzle of life and change. Contact us at the Road Ahead Cafe, and we will be happy to talk with you. And as always, what you think about and think about, you bring about. Subscribe to this channel. Thank you for listening.
Great stuff, Frank. Wow. So yeah, I realized today when I was writing my notes that people listening to this episode on the day it comes out will be at our event, the road trip, which is going to be so exciting coming up on Cinco de Mayo. So if you're listening to this, hope that you're taking notes. So my final thoughts, as you travel through this incredible maze of life, remember to enjoy each day. Look for the precious messages of those who came before you. Maybe we are among your guides. We hope that our handwriting gives you some food for thought. Very nice. Thank you for joining us today on the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. And if you love us, make a quick selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together with you again next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.